This Diamond Insight takes us to Palo Alto with Stanford head coach Mark Marquess. Let's start, Coach. You've been in college baseball for more than a couple of years. You're starting your 36th season there as head coach. How do you think you're different right now as a head coach compared to that first game back in 1977?
Well, again, you're right. I've done it a long time. I hope I'm better. You know, I'm older, and if I haven't learned from the many mistakes I've made, I'm not very bright. So I think I'm a little bit better. I've learned from a lot of years, but again, it's a situation where I think probably a little bit more mellow. And my players may tell you now they won't believe that, but probably a little bit more mellow. Probably a lot more organized. I'm much more aware of things that affect the players that happen off the field, academically and socially, and things that you probably don't think about when you're a younger coach. So, and which has an impact on it, and it's a better. And I've been here long enough, so I'm familiar with the times of the season where it's stressful for them academically and everything else. Where sure. Probably as a younger coach, I wasn't quite aware of that. I think I'm more in tune with that.
A lot of changes in college baseball over the years. Obviously, the big one last year was the bats. You know, some subtle, some not quite as subtle. What are maybe one of the two biggest changes you've seen in the college game?
Well, I think obviously that is a big change, and I think that affects the game, how the game is played a little bit. But I think that's an adjustment. Pluses and I don't know. But I think more importantly, I think the game is more popular than it's ever been. I think, and I say this a lot, I think it's, but it's true, college baseball is the best place it's ever been since the last 36 years that I've done it. Athletic directors are building new baseball facilities on their campus and spending millions of dollars to do that. You don't do that unless the sport is popular, the College World Series, the regionals, the super regionals, brand new ballpark in Omaha, a lot more televised games. I just think it's very healthy. I think there are a lot of reasons for that. I think the scholarship limitation, even though all of the coaches want more scholarship, I think that makes it possible for schools that don't have a lot of money to be competitive if they can get 11.7, which is a lot easier than getting 85 football scholarships. So mm-hmm. I think the parity has brought about a lot of success for college baseball. I think sometimes it's difficult for the premier programs that have been, you know, the Texases that have always been the top. I mean, it's difficult for those teams, those programs, to be dominant every year because of the parity. So, but I think the result of that is college baseball is the most successful it's ever been.
Well,
and growing.
It is. You mentioned the scholarships. If you could wave a magic wand and change one thing, would that be it, or would it be something else?
Well, I'd like to. I think you'd like to have it, you know, 24, you know, double it, you know, because you travel with a squad of 27 now. You'd like to at least have that. I don't think that's – there's a lot of things that I would like, but I don't think that's going to happen. Gender equity and a lot of the other things that we're going to deal with. Now, if that happened and all of a sudden we could go to 22 scholarships, that would be great, but that would cut down on the parity, you know. I would love it, but I think that low scholarship number allows other schools and programs that couldn't have the maximum amount of scholarships if you double them. I think that allows them to be competitive,
yeah.
And I think it allows them to take a player from the premier program. Maybe the premier program doesn't have a scholarship they can give them, and that premier player doesn't want to go to he'd like to go to Texas, but there's no scholarship available, so he goes to another school, and Texas lose that. That's happening all the time now because there's only so much money can go around, and I think if I'm the coach at that premier school, I want that guy. But because of the limitation, it brings about parity. And I think for the overall success of the – you know, I say this, and I believe I'm right. 25 years ago, you could have said at the beginning of the season, right now, one of these five teams will win the national championship before the year started.
Mm-hmm.
25 years later, there are 50 teams that can win the national championship.
That's true, yeah.
And I think Fresno State was a great example of that.
Yeah.
You know, when they win the national championship that year, they wouldn't even have made the tournament if they hadn't won their conference tournament. They weren't going to get an at-large berth, and they win the national championship. You know, so, and I think that's what makes the game so exciting now, and for fans, they know that can happen. I think it's a lot like the basketball playoffs now. I mean, there are Cinderella teams, and I think that's helping baseball. And I think that scholarship limitation, even though I'd like to see it increased, I don't think it's going to happen. And I think the positive result of that limitation is more parity.
Interesting spin. I guess I've never really kind of heard it thought about that way, but it makes sense. You know, you played a very tough non-conference schedule last year at Rice, at Vandy, at Texas. It kind of seemed to pay off down the road, even though it was some tough sledding early on. You won the Fullerton Regional. Were those tough early weekends kind of like mini regionals with the pitching you faced, maybe specifically?
Well, no question. I think you run the risk of – that was unusual. I had to change it. I'm not too bright, but I wouldn't normally schedule three weekends on a row. Texas had to change it. They had a big change in the schedule, so I had to. Texas was going to come here, but we had to change it, and so we had to go there back to back. But what my philosophy has been, and I worry about it, is that I think you get better by playing the better teams. You find out where you're weak, and then hopefully you make the corrections and make the adjustments, and you get ready for your conference season. The problem with that is if you have a young team, and we had a young team last year, you can really, you know, break their spirit. You know, I think we were 4-5 of those three weekends, which was good because those were ranked teams. The Texas and the Vanderbilt especially were really ranked high, and we could play with them and didn't get blown out. So I think we survived that. But if we had, you know, been 1-8, I think it could have really hurt us. But I think in the long run, there's more benefit from playing a tough schedule than playing a so-called weaker schedule. So we've always done it that way. Again, I may change my mind as we go along, but we think in the long run, your overall record isn't as good. But I will say that that strength of schedule, which I think is good, is reflected in the RPIs, and I think there's rewarded for that. So I think that encourages the programs to play the better teams, and I think that's good for college baseball. Yeah. I think that it's great that we're, you know, that our fans this year are going to get to see Vanderbilt out here, which is unusual, or see Rice here, you know, or see Texas. I think it's good. But if you get to the point where you think, well, I don't want to do that because if I lose, I won't get the postseason. Well, I think the NCAA committee's done a better job of rewarding schools that have played tough schedules.
Well, and the upside to those tough series on the road, just like you mentioned, you get all those three teams coming in there. That's got to be pretty exciting to have those kind of non-conference home series.
No question. It's good for the fans. It's good for college baseball. I think it's a win-win. The problem is if you play that schedule and at the end of the season you're two games over 500 and you don't make the postseason, and you say, oh gosh, if I had played somebody else, maybe I could have made it. I'm not sure that's true, but you would always second guess yourself. But I think in the long run, it's gonna make your team stronger by playing a tougher schedule.
And you talked about being young last year, and you probably don't have as many questions heading into this season as you had last, but what do you see as maybe some of the biggest holes that you do need to fill, both in the lineup and pitching-wise?
Well, I think, number one, we have to, you know, fill a catching spot. You know, we had Zach Jones caught for us for 3 years and caught last year as a senior, so we're having a lot of competition for that catching spot, and we may platoon that or divide it up for two or three guys. But I think that's our biggest – everybody really is back. All our starters are back because we played young last year. All our other starting position players are back. So I think that's, again, it is totally different. So that's obviously our strength. We have Mark Appel back, who was our Friday night starter. We have him back. And we get Moodingham back, who was really our first or second starter last year and had an injury, an accident, and almost, you know, really had a, almost cut his finger off on his throwing hand. And he's back, and so we're pretty good. We're pretty good there. So I think this is probably a veteran team. But it gets down to, you know, how you pitch, and we don't have a closer. We lost Chris Reed, who was kind of our closer and a first round draft pick of the Dodgers, and we lost him. So I think at college baseball, it's come to the point where, you know, you got to have a really good guy in the bullpen coming out of the bullpen, and the better teams that make it to Omaha or have a successful season have that dominant closer, and we don't know who that would be for us. So I think the catching spot and getting a closer that is really dependable or other critical areas.
You know, you talk to different coaches around the country, I get a lot of different answers to this question. How would you describe the prototypical Stanford baseball player?
That's a good question. I would say I would say for the most part I would say that I think I would say they're not really flashy per se. They're pretty consistent. I think for the most part they want to know why we do everything. You know,
smart guys.
You just don't say do this. They want to know why do you want me to do this. So you would think that I think for the most part they'll do the right things, go to the right bases, do those. And they don't always do that, but I think they know that. They know how to play the game, and it's not just because we do a great job of coaching. I think we do an adequate job, but I think they're very knowledgeable of the game, and I think that's important to them. Sometimes, but a lot of times it's you can put them in the right spot, and I think for the most part they know where to go. I think they're very hardworking, they're very dedicated. I think, and that's a carryover from the academics. They're very disciplined, very organized. They have to be with the time commitments that they have off the field. So I think that's, and that really hasn't changed over the years. They're all that way, but they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, and the competition is much better. You know, I like to think that you go in the old days, you know, they were great players. They were great players, but all the athletes today are bigger, stronger, and faster, and I think it's really helped our game. But I don't think our guys really are that much different than any of the other top the programs in the country. I just think maybe they're a little bit – they want to know more why they're doing things, and that sometimes that drives me crazy, but I don't know the years I got. You better explain why we need to do it this way.
Yeah. One of your assistants, Dean Stotts, has been with you out there for 36 years now. What's it mean to have that kind of consistency on your staff?
Well, I think it's really unusual, and I think that helps us, obviously, and I think for the most part, that doesn't happen because normally we've had a little bit of success, and normally those assistants will move on. Mm-hmm. But because of his family, he's been here a long time, and it's hard to leave here if you've been here for a great long time. So he's had, I would say, 5 or 6 years ago, he could have left many a times to be a head coach, but he likes it here, likes the area, has a lot of responsibility. So I think that's good. You have to also guard against, when you've been doing something for a long time, and we've both been doing this a long time. I think you need an influx of younger coaches and newer coaches, and I think we've got a good mix of that now. We have Rusty Filter from San Diego State, who came in and as our pitching coach and had never been to Stanford, doesn't know anything about Stanford. So that's good. That's good. That makes us reanalyze what we've been doing on the field. It also helps us, recruiting, how the things we can do. And then your volunteer coach is always a younger guy. We have a good young volunteer. So it's a good mix. Sometimes you got to guard against just being too set in your ways. So I think that the influx of younger coaches, which we have now on the staff, has helped us, and also somebody that hadn't been in the program before. A lot of times I've had assistant coaches that have played for me or whatever, so they're used to what we do, and there's not much change. But a lot of not changes, but reanalyzing how we do things when Coach Filter's come in. So I think that's been good, too.
Your conference is a little bigger this year. The Pac-12, though, is still one of a handful without a conference tournament. Would you like to see one anytime soon?
No.
Short and sweet.
Well, it's only 11 because Colorado's not baseball.
That's
so
true.
I think the conference tournaments, I think they're just like basketball. The reason you have a conference tournament is because you make money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it benefits. And in reality, if you're talking about a conference tournament, teams that are already in the tournament, they're not going to throw their best pitchers, or they're going to limit them. The people that are playing all out in the conference tournament are the ones that don't have the NCAA bid wrapped up. Most of the better teams that have done well in the league know they're going to be in the tournament and know they're going to host. I think it's just an opportunity for somebody that they don't think can get in for them to get in. Now, for me, you probably do it if you're going to make a lot of money,
right.
And Southeast Conference and the Big 12 or whatever, they're probably going to make money. But otherwise, I don't see what it does for you.
The situation with Cal last year, they're obviously your biggest rival. Their head coach is a guy who played for you. What did it mean, though, for college baseball for them to ultimately do what they did?
Well, I think it was great. Obviously, I think it's a great story. I mean, it's almost like made for Hollywood type thing. You know, it's hard to envision it happen like it did. But it was a little disturbing. You know, that could happen. You know, with the tradition. Yeah. And I think what came out of that positively, if you saw a lot of Cal alums realize how could this happen, they were really upset, and they came together, and you know, through fundraising and commitment from Alama, they saved the program. And I think that's what came out of that. And that won't happen again at Cal. And again, I think it's a lesson for other programs, because we're not a major sport and there are cuts, and I think you have to guard against that and realize that it can happen, and you have to let, and I think baseball alums, not even from Cal but from everywhere, hey, if this can happen at Cal, let's make sure it doesn't happen at our school. You know, and with the advantage that we have in our sport, it's such a, we have such a long tradition. A lot of the people that are still alive that played baseball, normally they have a lot of money. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a young new sport. So, and it's important to those people because of the, not just the lessons they learned in playing the sport. And so I think that was a positive came out of that. It told everybody, hey, we can't take this for granted. Colleges and states are hurting for money, and they're looking to cut. Let's make sure they don't cut baseball. But it was great. It was great, a great story, and Coach Esker and his staff did a great job, let alone on the field, but, you know, has spent time and meetings and all the other things that he had to do to help save that program. So it was a great story, and it was great for college baseball, I think, because it could have been a disaster, but I think it's set a good example with you got to protect against what we have. Then we got to protect what we have and we don't lose it.
All right, before I let you go, I want to do a little word association with you. I'm going to throw a few things at you. You just tell me what comes to mind. Let's start with a pitcher of yours, Mark Appel.
98-mile-an-hour fastball.
Your shortstop, Kenny DeKroger.
Gifted athlete, can do it all.
Cal head coach, David Esker.
Great coach, great motivator, very organized.
West Coast baseball.
The best.
The Pac-12.
The best.
And the last one, Mark Marquez.
You're not in Southeast Conference country, are you?
No.
Okay.
Mark Marquez, the last one.
Still ticking.
All right. Sounds good. Coach, we appreciate it. Best of luck to you this year.
All right. Thank you. Good talking to you. Bye-bye.